everybody. Welcome to the 2020 Bassmaster Classic. I don't know which way to point. We're pointing somewhere.
Peak Lusick points.
we've got a great event. We got a great live show for you right now. And I'm here from Straycast, good friend of the show, buddy of mine, Pat Renwick, far to my right. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Thank you. It's an honor to be here at the 50th Bassmaster Classic, especially with you, Dean.
It's a true honor.
Yes, sir.
It's a great event.
Yes, sir.
And we have a great guest. I know a lot of you guys have know him from fishing on the FLW Tour. He's a Lake Gunnersville expert, been guiding and teaching out there for years and years. We've got with us the Spinnerbait Kid.
Yeah.
Alex Davis.
Al Davis.
Good to have you, buddy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great guest.
It's kind of awesome being next to someone who I looked up to when I was growing up fishing. So
I appreciate that. That makes
Thanks,
two.
Al.
That makes two of you. But it's great to have you here, and great to have both you guys here. It is. There's a lot going on. It's the 50th Bassmaster Classic. It's quite an event. Everything got started right here in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where Ray Scott and Bob Cobb, they had the vision. They put this amazing trail together, and they built this tournament. And it was great. I was at the media event yesterday, and they were talking about the beginnings and how they started the tournament trail. And Ray Scott said, we need something special. We need to do something that is like the Super Bowl, that is like the World Series. And they created this championship called the Bassmaster
Talk
Classic.
Talk about special. Wow. 50 years is special.
50 years is strong, and it continues to be the pinnacle of fishing in bass fishing, all fishing. It's the pinnacle, and here we are. I know back, and this is it's kind of a sentimental moment for me. Had a couple things happen that were really, really cool. Back in 1997, I qualified for my first Bassmaster Classic. It was right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Heck yeah. History.
And it was so cool. Fished Lake Logan Martin, and I ran, I haven't seen him for years, but I ran into the 1997 champ, Dion Hibden.
Dion.
Ran into him at the lobby in our hotel, and I remember he was fishing docks on Lake Logan Martin, and he just crushed us all because we thought it was going to be an offshore bite, but it was an amazing experience. I was terrified in my first Bassmaster Classic. I was scared to come across the stage.
And what year? That was 97.
97.
That wasn't shotgun start still.
Yes.
Was it still shotguns?
Yeah, that was.
Wow.
That was.
That's crazy, right, Al? Yeah.
See, like a little Tuesday night derby, they do shotgun starts. Yeah. Now they've made it illegal, so that would be awesome to see a classic. Well, there they go.
Exactly.
Release the hounds.
That was great. They blow the whistle, and you go, and it was odd because I was running a Nitro at the time, and we got in Ranger boats, and I didn't know how to run a Ranger. And I'm trying to navigate the controls and figuring out how to drive through all this stuff. I'm scared to death I'm going to come across a stage with no fish. And it was intimidating. And I'm sure there's a ton of guys in this year's Bassmaster Classic that have never been. It's their first Classic this year.
You know, that would be – it'd be kind of intimidating for me, especially with all the way it is now. I don't think the medium was probably as big back then. And now they have an hour and a half drive in the morning. I mean, you get to really think about what you're fixing
yeah,
to go do.
That's can stew on you, Alex, right? That's for sure.
That could be a positive or a negative. Depending – guy like me, I'd spin out for sure.
And if you're coming back to the weigh-in with fish or without fish, it's grueling either way.
You either want to get to the convention center or drive through a bridge. Grueling. You have two options.
Absolutely.
Well, we have you here, Alex, and I want to dive in because we are Bass University, and we want to drop some knowledge on the folks. That's what we do. We teach people all over the world how to fish for bass. We love it, and you have an amazing knowledge. You and guys watching, you can go to thebassuniversity.com and you can click on the link to Alex Davis, and you can go out fishing with him on Lake Gunnersville and learn how to fish this lake, learn how to fish all the various techniques.
Awesome. It Bass really, you on the water.
On-water training has been a great thing for us, for not the anglers, for the students. We love it, and we appreciate you doing it with us. But I want to talk about Lake Gunnersville.
Yeah.
Man, I'm watching live this morning, and it's lipless, lipless, lipless. They're choking it out there right now.
That's a typical way to fish on Gunnersville.
Mm-hmm.
it's not my preferred anymore. And the reason I say that is probably the last – when was the last time you fished a lake in the spring? Probably
– it's 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Okay, so it was a hydrilla.
Yeah.
And you was here, it was all hydrilla. So
yeah.
I learned to fish hydrilla. That's just what I learned to do. And a lipless, right here, this is a Jackal TN70. This bait actually goes a little bit deeper than most lipless. And I love this bait here because it would fish that deeper hydrilla. We don't have hydrilla.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
it's still there, mm-hmm. but it's not from one end of the lake to the other like it was.
Yep.
Now we have eelgrass. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really change to me the kind of the where you fish. It changes the what's.
Gotcha.
It, what it does is eelgrass now grows as like a carpet. Like it'll start at a certain depth and end at a certain depth, and there'll be places where there'll be bigger, you know, bigger patches of it, maybe like the size of the Ike boat. Like mm-hmm. live boat will be a bigger, taller patch. But a lot of it's a carpet. So to me, this is the Jackal Break Blade. It's just a chatterbait style bait. That to me is so much easier, and I feel like I'm more efficient to fish.
Right.
So these are the baits. I mean, these three baits right here, this is a 6-foot running crankbait. This is MC60 by Jackal. These three baits here, someone's going to win the classic on one of these three.
Right.
I don't see it being any different.
Gotcha. Not a swim bait. No swim bait action.
We've had so much rain. Like, I think today's the first time I've seen the sun in what seems like months.
Right, right.
So we've had so much rain, the water's gotten dirtier. So the water's just got a lot of color to it.
Deal.
So that's why these three baits are playing more than what a swim bait would. Mm-hmm. I think if the water was clear like normal, probably like the last time you had it, mm-hmm. you was here, it would be a swim bait. Like, you'd see somebody wreck them this morning on
right,
a swim
right.
bait. But now I think it's just these three baits are going to be the big player.
And, you know, it's interesting because the color has changed, but it's still really clear. Like, we had so much rain, and it maintained some very good clarity. I mean, it's stained. It's more stained than it usually is. But I want to direct everybody. Jared Littner teaches us an amazing on-water seminar about this particular bait, and he talks about exactly what you said. It runs a little deeper. It's nose-weighted. It's a really strong study. So if you want to learn how to fish this bait, you can watch right now, and you can go watch Jared Littner's lipless crankbait on-water training seminar.
He's the one that actually told me about that. Me and him, the first time I ever met Littner was on Gunnersville, mm-hmm. and it was through Shimano, and they said, hey, you know, we got one of our pro staff guys. You might know him. He said, Jared Littner. I was like, well, yeah, I know Jared Littner. No, of him. He's like my hero. He's like, oh, well, I'll give you his number. Y'all go fishing tomorrow. I was like, all right, cool. He pulled that thing out, and I don't say I've taken a spanking like that before, but I got a pretty good one. Yeah. And I believe the course he did was at Seminole 2 years ago, and he did it with that. That was the on-the-water footage y'all did.
Right,
and
right.
He's not lying. Everything he said about that bait, it's 100% true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's where he did it. And it's an amazing tool. We've seen guys using lipless baits. And I got to tell a story. It was my last tournament that I fish here at Gunnersville, and it was in February, and it was blistering cold. It was so cold that the waves were splashing up as I was idling around looking for offshore stuff. I had icicles hanging from my hat, from my sonar, from the trolling motor. It was bone chilling, freezing cold, and I happened to blow my power head while I was practicing. So I drove around to different launch ramps practicing on my trolling motor, found this big flat, and I couldn't get into the deep water because, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm just fishing, bombing a lipless bait out on a flat in the middle of nowhere. And I found a school of 4 and 5 pound fish. The water temperature was plummeted, and the fish were biting. They were choking it.
Isn't that
crazy? It was gone, just like I'm seeing at the Classic today. The bait has disappeared. It's not even in their lips. It's so far down.
Chomping it, doing something right.
They when they commit to it here in the cold water,
yep.
they just choke it, don't they?
The cool thing about this lake and this area is, like, compared to Florida, when it gets cold here, they go to biting. When it gets cold in Florida, You don't get anything.
That's why I don't go to Florida.
Yeah, no, Florida and cold fronts don't go together. But here, like someone said, you think they're going to catch them? I said, it's going to be windy and cold. They're going to wreck them. Mm. The coldest tournament I ever fished, it was a BFL probably 6 years ago. My best friend won. He had 32 pounds. I had 23 and come in 10th. And it was 6 degrees when we launched and 18 when we come back.
Oh, my gosh.
It was absolutely miserable all day. And, I mean, every fish would have that thing choked. I mean, just like you're seeing on the footage already this morning. I mean, it's pretty unreal how these fish, when it gets cold, it's like they just want to swallow things instead of bite it.
That's something.
It is amazing. What do you got, Pat?
Alex, I know you're talking about the different baits and everything that you feel have the potential to show strong or actually win the Classic here. But I want to ask you a little bit about maybe pattern fishing versus area fishing for a potential win here at this Bass Classic.
If a man can find a pattern, I think he can win. And when I say that, like, I guided on Saturday or Sunday, and then I took out some guys yesterday. I didn't want to mess with none of the bass guys, so I didn't want to be out there when they was out there. And what I found is anywhere they're pulling 120,000 cubic feet a second right
now.
Wow. Which is, like, for people that don't realize, 35's, you know, 25's normal, 40's smoking.
Yeah.
So 120 is like unreal.
That's extra water.
That's yeah.
Right
so
there.
What'll happen is you'll get on the river channel. I think Seth Fider and Brandon Lester, I saw them out there near the river. What'll happen is there'll be a point of grass will come out. Well, when that point comes out, it makes an eddy behind it. So that hole, there'll be a little school that live on that point.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that area. There'll be 7 points below it.
Okay.
You'll get a guy that figures out that deal, and he'll find several places. You know, it might be a big area. It might be a 7-mile stretch. But he figures out something. On my guide trips, we was finding wherever current was going through islands. There's many, many islands on mm-hmm. Gunnersville. And wherever that current would go through an island, there'd be an eddy. And every time you pulled up to one, you'd catch 4 or 5. One would be a big one. You'd go to the next one. So it was a pattern as far as the current deal.
Okay.
Now, I see some of these guys. I think Auten was – it looked like he was just fishing boat docks. That,
right.
That's his strong suit. But that – you know, that's a pattern. He's not got 4 boat docks he's fishing. He's just fishing docks.
He's running docks.
I think a guy who has a pattern is better than the guy that says, I got one cast. Or, you know, this 30-yard stretch, because the problem is that it's not going to last 3 days. You can't – I mean, it might
– unless you're Brian Thrift and you were in this.
Don't even get me started on that guy. He's unreal. He can have one spot the size of this boat and win a tournament, but that never works for me. But I think a pattern fishing is going to be really huge here. I mean, you're going to have to put 2 baits that you have confidence in and find a little pattern, either it be, on the river with an eddy or islands with an eddy.
Excellent.
Just something like that.
Well, it's Gunnersville special that way. I think, and you tell me, is because you can pattern fish, as Kate's pulling my headphones off down there.
Hey, now.
Are you doing? Hey, now. Behind the scenes.
Live Bassmaster Classic.
We are live, yeah. Actually. But Gunnersville's got an amazing population of fish.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, some lakes, it's really spot-oriented because, the best
you can't
spot.
Pattern.
You can go to 5 places like that, and there's just not enough fish. But Gunnersville's loaded with bait and bass.
The cool thing about, like, when I do guide trips and I've done the on-the-water seminars that y'all sent me and we got hooked up there, is you can put in any ramp on the lake. You can put in at Browns Creek, All Red, Seabold, Waterfront, Goose Pond, BB mm-hmm. Comb, or Mud Creek. The whole thing's good. It's just finding what you like to do. If you want to mm-hmm. fish shallow up the river, then go to Mud Creek. Go to Crow Creek, Jones's
right.
Cove. So it's a really interesting lake. It can spread people out. And I don't think you're going to have a guy say, oh, man, there was someone on my spot this morning.
Right,
it
right.
Just, it doesn't happen. It's Gunnersville. There's so many
There's
spots.
There's a lot of area.
Yeah, yeah, if you looked at my GPS points, I bet you I got 2,500 from this lake. So after a while, I just look at it, I'm like, I think the whole lake's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole lake's good.
Nice.
And it's amazing because it gets a ton of fishing pressure here. And yet the lake can support it.
That's crazy.
Because of grass.
Is that what it is?
I mean, that's what can harbor a population of shad, a population of brim, bass. I mean, it's the grass is what does that.
The grass is the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, instead of having no grass where it's like, oh, they live on stumps and there's 10 in that pocket, have fun after you leave there. Now, I mean, it's like, oh, the whole lake has grass. Just start, what like Pete said, the one thing I tell to people who want to learn gunners, well, put your trolling motor down and learn.
Okay.
Don't run around. So when you blew your motor, that was almost probably
an asset,
a blessing
yeah.
in disguise. You probably didn't realize it or think that at the time because I know how
no,
I feel.
I didn't think that.
No, you didn't. But at the time, when you get to fish, it's like, oh, no, I'll figure out what's here in this section of the lake, which is that's what you need to do.
You're right.
That's why he's the dean.
At the time, I was thinking about the $20,000
yes,
that
exactly.
it was going to cost me to replace that motor.
That's not a fun thing.
No, not at all.
Not a fun
thing. Not going to happen.
You know, we got a pattern fishing on the lake. There's a ton of fish here. We've seen a lot of fish catching action. We got some local guys. Who do you think is going to dominate this turn? Do you have a pick?
We'll give you power to play attorney right now.
When I said my top three before it ever started was Brandon Lester, Seth Fider, John Cox. Because Fider, even though he's from up north, he
excellent
learned
grass
on grass fishermen. Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
So he gets it. He understands grass.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Lester, I mean, he's got so much knowledge of the Tennessee River, and he's got a lot of, you know, a lot of knowledge, a lot of history here.
And we saw him flash up on the leaderboard
he
early.
He caught a 7-pounder first thing. And him and Fider are a quarter mile away doing the exact same thing.
Is that right?
So those two guys, one has history and he knows, one's a grass fisherman and he knows. So it's kind of cool that that's happened. And John Cox, I don't think you can ever sleep on a guy that will willing to throw a chatterbait all day long.
Right, exactly.
You can't sleep
exactly.
on that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, while you said that, I want to ask you about this. What's your opinion? What makes the bladed jig, the chickadee china, the Chinese chatter chicken, so damn good? Like, what makes it so good?
To me, you have a bait right here that imitates a shad. This is I make this skirt. It's just a shad-looking skirt. Put a, you know, a white, little white trailer, pearl trailer. This looks like a shad. All you have to do is take this skirt and this trailer off, put a green pumpkin or one that looks like a bluegill with a green pumpkin trailer. Now you're imitating a bluegill. Mm-hmm. So you can imitate anything you want. You can put a red one on there. I know.
Sure. That seems to be pretty bad.
There was a tournament a few weeks ago. A guy kid cut 32 pounds in his best five.
Yes, sir.
He's a known hammer, and he put a red one on there. Imitates a crawfish. So this bait can imitate any kind of forage. And what's awesome about it is it's easy to fish. It's not hard. Like, you know, I get clients and I want to go throw, you know, like a 6-foot running crankbait. They struggle with it because it gets in the grass and they don't realize
sure.
you have to really
it's a field game. It's
you
more
have, you have to really rip that thing to pop it loose, and they don't realize if there's a piece of eelgrass that's 4 inches long. This bait right here, you throw it out, you slow reel it in. When it quits chattering, you jerk it, you keep reeling. When you jerk it, you make two cranks, and all of a sudden the line goes slack.
Now,
so it's easy to fish, and it's fun.
And it just consistently works. And I think, I am not sure, but this is a theory that I have, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, please. But jigs and plastics like T-rigs and stuff seem to be an unintimidating type bait. And bass don't get conditioned to them as much, you know. But that makes noise, but they don't seem to be getting conditioned to that.
I think it triggers. It's a cat and mouse. You can have a cat, and you can throw a frog over there and mess with him. And if you twitch it fast, he comes after it every time. I think a bass is the same way. His natural instinct is when that thing comes through and shoots out of the grass real quick, it's just he has to bite it. Something is in him that he can't not do it.
Yeah.
And that's where this really plays. And it just catches. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. I think this bait
anywhere.
Is so – I mean, it's from Florida. Like at Rayburn this year, when I fished FLW Tour, the first one I come in the top 10, that's all I threw the whole week. I mean, you can cover so much water. That's what I love. It. You can cover water.
And it's and it catches, it even catches smallmouth and gin clear water. It's a tremendous tool. But have you had an experience here? Like I know in the cold water, my experience has been that the chatterbait will dominate the bite. And in the warmer water seasons – a lot of times I go back and forth between the swim jig and the chatterbait.
That's something I didn't want to talk about, but we're going to discuss it.
Thank you.
To me, the water temperature 64, pretty much right when from their when they start to spawn and below that, like what we are now, chatterbait's to me dominant.
Right.
When you get in that 64 and they're spawning up, it seems like the swim jig's just better. And I don't understand why. It's just a lot of trial and error, but you can throw – I've seen places you can throw the chatterbait through there, catch two, and throw a swim jig through there and catch six, seven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just maybe they don't want the, you know, the vibration. They just want more of the natural, but it's pretty much the same thing. You just take off that blade on there.
Right, right.
But you are definitely correct. I mean, it seems like when it hits that 64, they transfer over to the swim jig.
Well, so you heard it here, guys. When they're biting the chatterbait better, you throw the chatterbait. When they're biting the swim jig better,
tip
you
of the
throw
week.
The swim jig.
Thanks, Al.
Bass shoot tip of the week. But, you know, guys are fishing around the hydro. I saw them in the event. I saw guys talking about the eelgrass. What's going to win this tournament? Is it going to be an eelgrass bite? Is there enough hydrilla to hold the winning fish?
Where Fider and where is.
What part of the lake? Just generally
they're at B.B. Comer. They're up at B.B. Comer.
Okay.
Where those guys are, there is an actual mixture of hydrilla and eelgrass. That's where the most hydrilla was last year on the lake in the fall.
Right.
So, obviously, when it starts dying, wherever the most of it is where there's going to be the most of it in the spring. Mm-hmm. So that's where those guys are. The rest of the lake's pretty much eelgrass. I mean, there's little spots of hydrilla, but those guys are in a mixture of eelgrass and hydrilla. So they're getting the best of both worlds. They're probably around the largest group of fish on the lake.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're on a recipe. They're on a collision course. Yeah. Those two guys are on a collision course.
Conjunction, junction.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we did talk about, and I don't mean to go back, but I want to, because everybody fishes a chatterbait on gear a little bit differently. What's the rod, reel, and line that you're using to fish a chatterbait down here through the hydrilla?
To me, I throw 15-pound fluoro.
15?
Okay. The reason I do this is because everyone says throw it on 20.
Mm-hmm.
What's 20-pound test do? It makes your bait rise up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fishing 5 foot deep, you want your chatterbait to be in the grass the whole time. I can throw 15 pound and it gets it deeper.
Right.
So I want it to be in the grass.
Interesting.
I've never seen a fish that just breaks 15 pound because I hook him. I mean, if you do, you need a new line, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's my thought.
That's,
I mean,
on your line. Yeah.
That's on you.
Yeah.
I throw it on a medium heavy glass rod.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
The reason I do that is I lost a whole lot of fish when I first picked up this bait, just on an immediate, like a normal, typical medium heavy rod. They'd come up, as soon as they jumped, they'd spit it loose. Yep. And I actually hated this lure because of that. I watched a lot of Brett Heights videos. I watched him on the Bass U on all y'all's TV that you got. And he throws a glass rod. When the master of a chatterbait throws a rod because he says it connects more fish and boats more fish, I'm not a dummy.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And that's the reason. It's about the strike-to-catch ratio, and that's why the soft rod, not necessarily better at working the bait or even casting the bait, but it's better to actually get them in the boat.
Yep. And to me, it don't matter if you can catch – if you can hook 20 and you catch 10, I'd rather hook – I'd rather get 12 bites and catch all 12 of them.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, I mean, it might be a little harder with the glass rod to jerk it out of the grass. You might have to put a little bit more effort into it, but you're going to catch, to me, 95% that bite, and that's what we're here for. We're not here to lose them.
You know what they say, Pete Nouns? Once you go glass, you never go back.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Could this be the winner of the 50th Bassmaster Classic? The Chatter Chicken. We don't know, Pete.
I don't know. As it warms, you don't know. Are they going to switch from lipless and move over to the Chatter Daddy? I don't know.
I'm saying that one right there.
This one right here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah bud. Bassmaster Classic, 50 right here, right now, Bass University. Al, anything you want to say before we break on out?
I would like to say, go over to thebassuniversity.com and you can book an on-water training trip with Alex Davis. Get out on the water, fish all these tools, learn how to do it from a really amazing angler that can show you the ropes, show you quick through the on-water training program. And we've got a lot of other on-water trainers there. Wherever you live in the country, we got somebody for you. And, man, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
I thank you for having me.
I wish you best of luck at Lake Martin.
Yep, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm headed next week.
You're having a good year, dude.
Yeah. I won a Bassmasters there back in 1997 or 99. Just
saying.
I had a moment to brag.
Just saying.
So we'll be back. We're going to be here broadcasting all day. We're talking to all the greatest anglers in the world. We're going to be learning techniques, new lures, what's hot, what's new. It's all on BassU.TV. Guys that are watching us live right now, it's $50 off or 50 days free. It's a Bassmaster Classic promotion that's going on right now. It's happening. You guys can sign up. If you're here at the Classic, we're booth 2223. Come by and see us. We're going to hook you up with some great BassU swag. If we see you wearing a BassU logo, we're going to give you some great swag, too.
Heck yeah, Pete.
So come hang out with us. We're having a ball.
It's
the 50th Classic. Pete Kluzek, Bass University TV.
Alex Davis.